I'll stand and testify real quick. I just want to praise the Lord. Thank Him for His love, His mercy, and His grace. But most of all, just for His love. Things that He's done for me that I would have never foreseen. Doors that He's opened that I never thought were even there.
Praise God.
Praise God for His mercy and grace and for my salvation. Praise the Lord.
Well, glory to God. Amen. God is so gracious. Amen. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And the chorus says, leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. The chorus one more time. Oh, leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Let's do verse number 2. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, if we could do that, folks. We could just do that one thing. Amen. I know the burdens are going to come, but if we could just take that burden to the Lord, whatever that burden may be, and just leave it there. Don't take it back with us. Amen. Just trust God to take care of it. My, my, my. If you know that to be the truth tonight, give the Lord a great old big hand clap for praise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Good to feel this nice air conditioning in this time of heat that we're experiencing. If you have your Bibles, I want to go to the book of Psalms tonight, and I want to open this up as a Bible study. We appreciate your input, and I just want to encourage each and every one of you. I just, every once in a while, I just like to just read the Word of God and just let the Holy Spirit speak to us, but this is what the Lord laid upon my heart. In verse, or in chapter 120, Psalms 120, verse number 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Praise God. Brother Walter, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask God's blessing? Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. In my distress. You know, Brother New preached several times for us, and one time in particular, and I think I refer to this quite often, he said, words mean something. Man, and the words of the Lord mean something. And distress basically means extreme anxiety. Okay, I want you to think about that tonight. And my, the little word my means belonging to or relating to me. Now here we find Samuel, I think, uses this term twice in 1 and 2 Samuel. And David refers to it, I believe, in chapter number 18 of Psalms. And then the writer here of the 120th Psalm uses the word verbatim. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Let's read now what brought on this extreme anxiety to the writer of the 120th Psalm. In verse number 2, he says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. I want us to look at this just a little bit. Let's turn over to chapter 18 and just go ahead and read that now while it's on my mind. David's writing here in Psalms 18. And I believe it is in verse number 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now David is experiencing something totally different than the writer of the 120th Psalm. David has just been delivered from the hand of Saul and from the enemies that were trying to prevail against him. You remember David, even though he had that boldness to go out and fight Goliath, there was times that David was hiding in a cave. There was times when David was on the run, and he still served the same God that was with him on the battlefield when he fought that giant Goliath. But sometimes circumstances change, and the circumstances here were a little bit overwhelming. But I want you to understand, in both cases, what these two particular writers asked for from God was to deliver me from my distress. My distress. I know that God is a healer of the body. And I know God is a deliverer of the soul. And I know God opens doors sometimes when we don't even realize there's a door to be opened. But sometimes those things we have nothing to do with them. They're circumstances that happen in our lives. But thank God that we can call on Him, amen, and God can be there for us. But then there's other times, I believe with all of my heart, some of the things that we're asking God to deliver us from are the very things that we got ourselves into. And so many times it's because of worry, it's because of extreme anxiety. Somebody share with me tonight, and we'll open it up, what anxiety means to you, or in your own words, so that we can get a foothold here of where we're going. Getting worked up over something. Worked up emotionally. I think physically or emotionally it affects our physical nature. It affects our physical body. So many times, have you ever gotten so stressed you got a headache? You've gotten so stressed, amen, that you took it out on your spouse or whatever. And it's getting worked up. But here it says it's extreme anxiety. That tells me it's just not normal anxiety. Sometimes we get anxious over things, don't we? We get anxious sometimes in sitting in traffic. We get anxious sometimes when things are not going our way. But extreme anxiety is when it really gets to working on us. It gets to bearing on us. And we get, so many times, it will affect us physically. Sometimes it will actually make us sick. It will actually make us sick with a headache or sick to our stomach because of things that we worry about. We worry about what are we going to do and how are we going to get out of this or what are we going to do, amen, to make this situation better. And we're not the only ones, by the way. Many great patriarchs, Samuel and David, to name two, had this same situation that they fought with. And in their distress, they cried unto the Lord. And I'm so thankful that God can come on the scene, even when things we bring on ourselves, even when issues we bring on ourselves. But he says, in extreme anxiety, and my belonging to me or relating to me. This is my distress. Okay? This is my distress. It's personal. And when I thought about that, you know, so many times we are our worst enemy in a way because we let these things dwell in our heart, dwell on our mind. Many times, as the song says, take your burden to the Lord, then pick it up and take it home with you. No, it's take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If we could learn to really, really trust God and just release those things to the Lord, I believe we would have less stress in our life, less anxiety, and not only stress, but in distress. Amen? And distress can come in many, many different forms. And here, David is talking about the distress because of all of his enemies, the distress because of Saul. He was beloved in David's eyes, and David knew that he was the anointed of God. But David had to fight against him, and I would imagine all of that anxiety was building up and building up and building up almost to a point where David said, you know what, I just can't handle this anymore. It's unbearable. I don't know what I'm going to do. So in that distress, in that extreme anxiety, he called upon the Lord, and you know what he said? The Lord heard me. So the Lord will come to our aid even when we face distress or anxiety brought on by our own situations, our own problems. Now the other writer in chapter 120, it was very different. He was in distress because of what? Lying tongues. Has anybody ever had been stressed out because of what somebody else said about you? Come, look at the hands that are coming up. Why is that so burdensome to us? Why does that present such distress and extreme anxiety in our life? Anybody? I think if everybody be truthful, I know some people say, I don't care what anybody says, but I think down deep we all do. We want to be liked. We want to fit in. We don't want to have to face with people that we think that they've got all against us. And it does. It hurts sometimes like a knife in the back. Well, this was the case with him. He's lying tongues. And what can be done to these lying tongues? You know, yes, sir.
Words are powerful.
They are powerful. And you know, many, many times those words, after they're out and they're pierced, like a spear or a sword or a fiery dart, it's so easy to say, oh, I'm sorry. You know, but it's already out. You know, it's already out. And we'll forgive folks, but, after a while it begins to build up and it causes anxiety. So that's what this situation was. Now, Samuel was talking more about the distress of the nation that turned their back on God. I believe out of the three examples that we have here, one is because the enemies are trying to prevail. Two is because of the piercing words of people that we once trusted, people that we once fellowshiped, people that we once really had a lot to do with. And now those are the ones that hurt. Amen. Those are the ones that we seem to be really close to folks, and then they turn around and stab you in the back with these things. But thirdly, it was the distress of a nation that had turned their back on God. And I think out of all of those three examples, maybe the third example is the one that causes a lot of anxiety in our lives today. We are Christians and we want things to go smooth. We want people to love one another. We shun the very appearance of evil, and it begins to disturb us when we see all these manner of things happening. You turn the news on, pick up the newspaper, and you hear all those things that are happening, and it's perverseness. Perverseness is running rampant in the world today. Perverseness has always been in the world, but it's never been as readily acceptable as it is today. Some people now, they're never surprised at anything they hear on the news or they see. And this causes, I think, sometimes stress or distress, and it causes extreme anxiety. But the thing about this is we got to own it, okay? In other words, to get rid of this anxiety, to get control of it. Maybe that's a better term. Because sometimes you can't really get rid of the anxiety. You got to learn to control it. And the one thing that I believe that we can do is have a mindset. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. We've got to have a mindset that we are overcomers in Christ. Amen. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But how do we get to that overcomer part? When we're dealing with such stress and it becomes, whether we admit it or not, we are actually living and operating in distress. Now let me open it up and ask you, be honest with us if you would, and if you feel like answering, what are some things that causes you to be in distress? Or have you got victory over everything and there's no distress? Yes, sir.
I think sometimes it's the fear of the unknown.
Fear of the unknown.
They're almost mental, but you're coming up with what is.
Future events. Are we prepared for them? Or whatever the situation. Yeah, not knowing. And that's true. I mean, the fear of the unknown. Now that can, you know, you say, you can kind of let that run off your back like duck or water off a duck's back. But no, in times, maybe that is a very real phobia to some people who have a real hard time with knowing what's going to face. The future, you know. How my kid's going to grow up. I've heard people say, well, yeah, I'm at a point in my life, it don't really matter a whole lot because it won't be long. I'm going home to be with the Lord. But I dread for my children and my grandchildren to experience some of those things. And if you're not careful, that can cause you to really live and operate in a stressful situation. And it almost can become a situation of distress. I don't believe that all stress makes us be in a distress or in a distressing situation, but I think if it's unchecked, it will cause us to live in a distressing situation. Somebody else share with me things that really cause, Sister Valerie.
The news,
current events, absolutely, and it's depressing. It's depressing, and sometimes, you know, I think we're worried more about it than the nation is. The nation just kind of say, and if you'll notice. People just keep, the sun comes up again, and people just keep on going, doing their different things, and then you think about it. But the thing about this and the thing about that is we know that it's happening. But here's the thing. If we dwell on it to a point that's all, that it consumes us, you know, it consumes us when we're going to bed at night. We worry, worry, worry. It consumes us sometimes when we're driving back and forth to work. It consumes us sometimes even when we come into the congregation to worship the Lord. All of these things. What's going to happen? What am I going to face? My goodness, the world is just going to a shambles. Everything is falling down around. And it gets to a point that we become extremely anxious about things. Do you know that people today, some people even have a phobia about even getting out of their house, even going to the market, because they dwelled on these things. Anybody else? We've already talked about a couple of things.
Sickness,
absolutely. Real and even the fear of catching something, the fear of being sick. We know what the power of persuasion means. When somebody says, are you feeling okay? And you say, yeah, I'm feeling fine. Well, you don't look good. You look a little peaked. And first thing you know, we're going to the mirror and we're looking. Well, you know, you're right. I didn't notice it, but my eyes are drooping a little. I hadn't been feeling all that good. First thing you know, somebody can talk us actually being into feeling bad or sick. But yeah, the fear of, you know, whatever disease it is, whatever situation it is, whatever problem, indigestion, being a heart attack. And you say, might laugh about that, but there's people that are really, really fearful about that because it has happened. People have misdiagnosed indigestion, and it really was a heart attack. And if you're not careful, you'll be consumed with that fear. So we got the fear of the unknown, the fear of the current event, the news, the fear of sickness or possible sickness or disease or things. Anything else? Work-related stress. My goodness, yes, absolutely. I remember how that used to be. Thank God he delivered me out of that. Very stressful. very stressful, especially today, in today's society, because everything is about the bottom line and the profit and loss. And, you know, used to you work for companies that cared a little bit about you. They don't really care a whole lot about you right now. It's what can you do for me? It's not what you did yesterday. What can you do today? Does that relate? Can anybody relate to that a little bit? That can be stressful, can't it? I've heard Brother Thomas talk about, man, I can't wait till I retire. This is, you know, it's getting to a point. I don't know if I can work these last 4 or 5 years or not. It's getting to a point where it heats up and heats up and heats up. And what is that? That is extreme anxiety. Extreme anxiety. Worrying about something that we have no control over. That we have no control over. The workplace is going to be like that. You know, the thing about it is, now the Bible tells us, you know, do the very best that we can for those that we work for. We're the servant, they're the master. We work for them the best we can. But you know what we need to learn to do? When we walk out that door, hang it on the doorknob and keep going. We got to learn to do that. We got to learn to not take that stress home with us, especially if we're driving from Atlanta back to Villarica. Hang it on the door. Say, you know what, Lord, I'll pick it back up tomorrow. How many remembers the little trouble tree that we had out in the vestibule? There was a reason for that. You might say, what does that mean? Well, what that means, it reminded us to hang all of our problems, all of our troubles, all of our stress out there on that little the trouble tree. And when we come into the sanctuary, we're coming into the sanctuary with a mind to praise the Lord and to glorify God and to lift Him up. And you know what happens many, many times? When we go back out, we don't even take those troubles back with us. So there is a remedy. And certainly God is the remedy, but there's things that so many times we bring on ourselves, and then we wonder how we're going to handle these things. So we've talked about the fear of the unknown. We've talked about current events. We've talked about sickness. We've talked about workplace stress. And how many, would you be honest with me, have you ever been stressed out at work? Sure, it happens, don't it? Somebody else, what are some other things that causes stress in our lives? Sister Autumn. Your kids?
Yeah, they stress me out when they fight. And then I learned that even when they're
sure. And what gets you through that? Could it possibly be your overwhelming love for them that gets you through? I'm thinking when you're saying that, I'm thinking, I know God doesn't get stressed out, but He'd have every right to with all of us, all of His children. But what gets Him through is that overwhelming love that He has for us, and knows that we're human and knows that we're subject to failure and knows that sometimes we're going to be a basket case. Amen. But God is always there to help us. So we got all... Anybody else? Anybody else want to put in something? Sister Evelyn? Oh, you're...
I'm helping her.
Oh, she's helping you. Is that what stressed you out? Somebody's always helping you. Sure, grief, sorrow. That's very real. That's very real. And you know what? I'll go back to what my granddaddy told me. When I would go with him to visit somebody in the hospital, or especially when he would go to visit someone who had lost a loved one. And it just amazed me that my granddaddy could go in and he could sort of lighten up the room, and he just kind of knew I had a way to talk to him. And I said, Papa, that's what I called him. I said, Papa, how do you know what to say to somebody who's just lost their loved one? And he said, Son, it ain't so much what you say, because most people will forget what you say, but they will remember if you're there. And sometimes if somebody's just there, somebody's just there to help you, just to console you. You know, I know we always say, man, I know what you're going through. No, you don't. You really don't. I mean, we mean well when we say that, but How you handle grief may be entirely different the way that somebody else has or handles grief. So the best thing to say, I am sure praying for you. I really don't know what you're going through. I just know that I'm here if you need me whatsoever. So that can kind of help you through a stressful situation. And you know, some people never get over it. Honestly, some people do not. Uncle Lee, every time I call him, I avoid the subject of Aunt Agnes. As much as I loved her, and she's been dead almost 3 years, and he cared for her the last 3 years of his life. They didn't have any children, by the way. But I purposely avoid bringing her name up because I know how it stresses him out. But somehow, some way or another, it'll get back around, and before I know it, he's broken up and started crying. I don't know how he feels. I really don't know how he feels because, like I said, it was just him and her for 60-something years, no children, and he lost his soulmate. And that's a stressful situation, and I know it is. But that's his. That's my distress. That's it, that extreme anxiety that he goes through. And he'll talk about it sometimes. He says, I maybe get 2 or 3 hours of sleep at night. He said, I've tried everything. I go to sleep. I wake up 2 or 3 hours later, wide awake, and he said, I'll just get up. And that's the worst thing in the world to do because that's when your mind thinks about that situation. One little antidote. I do not have an MD to prescribe this, but one little antidote is to keep yourself busy. It really works. If you keep yourself busy, if you keep yourself occupied, because sometimes when you sit and think on those things, they get worse, whatever it be. The fear of tomorrow, the current events through the news, the work-related stress, the sickness, the children, all of those things, when you sit and think about it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So keep your mind occupied. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit if we can get around to it. Anybody else? Sister Tabitha. Praise God.
He has to keep himself busy.
Sure.
And I'm not kidding. That man never stops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he goes continuously. I mean, if you call him at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, it seems like he's not asleep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. Exactly. Very interesting that you noted that he found solace in the pulpit. And he knew that, and I think what it was, he relied on that anointing. And you ministers know what I'm talking about. You can be fearful, you can have butterflies, you can have anxiety about getting in the pulpit, but when the anointing hits you, it's comforting, it's reassuring, it's almost like your battery was run down, and then you suddenly got plugged in, and the anointing, and that's what but you got to realize, and what he finally did realize, that anointing is not just here. That anointing, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is with us wherever we go, so we can stay charged in. And thank God he's mobile. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't it be bad if the only time we could ever feel the Spirit of the Lord was just right here or right here in the sanctuary? But thank God he goes with us. Amen. So that's wonderful. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. I can relate. It is stressful. Absolutely. It can be very stressful. Yeah. Because those of you that have built a house, you don't just throw it up in a couple of weeks, okay? And when you have certain people to do things, you know, sometimes other things get in the way. Weather, situations like that. In other words, if you're going to build a house, be sure you read about patience. And it's God's time, not ours. And that won't help a whole lot, but it'll get you through if you'll think. It's very stressful. Yeah, it is very stressful. But I'll tell you, like I told Penny, I said, one of these days, we'll be sitting on the back porch, and it'll all be behind us. And we've done that. We've sat on the back porch, and it'll all be behind us. Anybody else? Sister Joanne.
And I would have these episodes where I had no idea what the problem was, but it was like something had gripped my heart, standing on my chest, and I couldn't breathe.
Right.
I would go in the middle of the night and fling a window open in the middle of snow on the ground because I would just try to breathe the air, you know. And it was something that you said that's so true. It's like it encases you. And at some point, you break free, but you don't know how long. Doctor even said anxiety can mimic any kind of disease. And I thought that I had heart trouble at that time. They said, they checked. There's nothing wrong with your heart. But when you're thinking about things and this thing grips your mind, you do just exactly what he was talking about. The fear of the unknown comes on you. And you would start thinking about, like, I would give you an example. I would think about my mother, who was perfectly healthy at the time. And then I would think about her being sick. And then my mind would start saying, well, what if she gets really sick? What if she dies? What are you going to do when she dies? How are you going to grieve? How are you going to get through this? And it would just go on and on and on. And then, one time, the first time that it happened to me, never forget as long as I live, I was riding past the church where I go, and nobody was supposed to be there as far as I knew, but I turned in because I see all these cars out there. And when I walked in, there was a bunch of ladies in the church, and my aunt was one of those prayer warriors. She turned around and she said, I was just praying for you.
Praise God.
And I realized that it was God was the only thing that could break that
Amen.
Around me.
You're exactly right.
And I remember after 30 days of crying and grieving and good breathing, all these things was happening. After 30 days, I couldn't listen to music. I couldn't, nothing like that. Nothing that was sappy or anything like that. I remember I went to work and I was in the bathroom and the radio was playing in the bathroom and I was washing my hands in the sink and I'm just singing away and I remembered that God. That was the only thing and all of a sudden it was gone.
Praise God.
And I'm proud to say that it's been a long time since that has happened to me, that anxiety that gripped me like that.
Thank God. Amen. It's interesting that you use that term like this closed in. And that's been happening because David referred to God delivering him and set him in a large place. If you read in Psalms, he alludes to that a couple of times. The Lord set me in a large place. Meaning, you know, it wasn't closed in anymore, the freedom there. Yes, ma'am.
I was just
going to
say that a lot of anxiety can lead to panic attacks.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah,
it
can.
It does, but I think a lot of it is what we allow in our minds. We've got to be aware that thoughts will come by and everything, but we're the ones that choose whether we dwell on those thoughts. We've got to be real careful about what you put in your head.
Exactly. Filter. We need to filter. The Holy Ghost filter.
Yeah.
And don't really need to come through. We don't, you know, those can't help the thoughts. But we talked about intruder thoughts. I'd never heard that. They're intruders. Amen. Spiritual songs, hymns. Absolutely. That's exactly right. Anxiety is real, by the way. It is real. I didn't mean to make light of it at all, because it is. It's very real. My mother experienced herself. She's the same thing. She did when she was young. My brother was young. I remember her crying. My brother and I was really young, but I remember her crying and telling my granddaddy. She said, I don't want my kids to grow up because I don't know what's going to happen to them. And she just was crying because of that. And it just got a hold of her. But God delivered her. I remember when God delivered her and really, you know, it was a miracle. It really was. Nothing short of a miracle. So God will deliver us from these things. But there are some things that we can do. And like you said, occupy and keep our mind occupied on other things. And also the mindset. And this is the mindset. I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to be a victim. I'm an overcomer. The Bible tells us that we are an overcomer. And when we come to that mindset, you know, we can't keep anxious thoughts away. They're going to come. We can't keep stressful situations. They're going to come. As long as we're working for the man or whatever, we're going to have stressful situations. But we can have a control. I was thinking about when Sister Joanne was sharing with us, you know how you watch a thermometer and you've seen the cartoon where just somebody gets mad and that thing just rises all the way to the top and then it explodes. Well, that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to get... We're all going to have issues. We're all going to have problems. But we got to learn to control those things and never let it get to a point where it reaches up there, where the mercury gets all the way to the top, and it goes, because that's when people, what do you call it, snap, you know, that's when they've lost control, you know, and Satan's having a heyday, he's loving it, I mean, he wants you out of control, so there's things, and in fact, let's go to Romans, before I get too carried away, Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse number 35, very familiar passage of Scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In verse number 38, you can probably all recite it. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's in the book. That's in the book. That's in God's Word right there that tells us that is the answer. That is the answer. We're going to all have stress, but we have an answer. And the mindset is, I absolutely refuse to be a victim. I am an overcomer through Christ. Amen? Amen. Which strengthens me. Anybody else tonight?
I just want to say you are dead on target. You just knew that when you started reading Psalm 120, you
oh, well, thank God for confirmation.
You are called of God, and you have just walked down the road that we've been walking. You really wow. Okay, you knew, brother. I got chills all over.
Well, I don't know what God does. He knows exactly.
I had a pastor come in on the service on Wednesday night and just walk right down the road of what somebody had to experience that afternoon.
Praise God. Well, thank God. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That just that scripture was on my heart, and I just started looking at the word distress, and so many times those things are stressful situations. But what really got me was extreme anxiety. What do they call it? There's a drink called Extreme Blast. That's more than just a regular blast, okay? Extreme anxiety is more than just a regular anxiety. We all have anxious moments, and we all have situations. But when it gets to a point where it affects us physically, you know, that's time to get something done about it. Amen. Well, thank y'all for bearing with me tonight. I know this is a little off the beaten path. This is a little out of the ordinary. But again, I'm just have to give you what the Lord laid upon my heart. Amen. Praise God. Well, all, would you stand tonight? Praise God. And I know we've already had prayer, but as Brother Jim says all the time, this altar's never closed. If you do have need of prayer tonight, we'll certainly pray with you and pray one for another. We thank God for you. Looking forward to a great time in the Lord. Again, is it Saturday night? We have the Mother's Father's Banquet. If you've never been a part of that, come and be a part of it. You'll enjoy the fellowship. And another thing that we was talking about, you know, we can't help sometimes who we fellowship with and who we're around because the world dictates that. But as much as possible, be around folks that love God. It's contagious. It really is contagious. You get with a bunch of born-again believers, and I guarantee you it'll lighten your whole spirit. Amen? God bless you. Well, if no one needs prayer, Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer? We love you. God bless you.